Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by taking a look at agriculture here in this state. What's going on? Give us an update. We're getting that from Secretary Ben Bransel. Secretary Bransel, appointed Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection back in January of 2011. It's his second time around for this job. He served under Governor Thompson as well, fifth-generation dairy farmer, former state representative, has got a degree in animal science. I have one of those, too. I have a bachelor's degree in animals. We got something in common there, Secretary Bransel. Oh, man. Great to have you with us, by the way. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me on, Larry. Look forward to it.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we also have Jen Pino Gallagher, Bureau Director for the Division of Agricultural Development in the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And Jen, it's great to see you as well. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Larry. I'm glad to be here.
Lots to talk about. I know international exports and trade are really an area, I think, of growth for our state. But there's always room for more, I guess. What are some of the most promising, let's talk about trade partners maybe, and Jen, maybe you can start and to talk about that.
Certainly. Well, Wisconsin companies really are doing well on the international side. In fact, in 2011, we exported $2.85 billion worth of agricultural products, and that's billion with a B, which was another record year for Wisconsin companies. And the markets that really hold a lot of potential for us, obviously Canada and Mexico are two closest neighbors, always are big markets for us. But the Asian markets are rapidly growing. We're seeing a lot of trade going to South Korea, which is really only going to increase once the free trade agreement is put into place later on this week.
Yeah. And in terms of products, what are the products that people are really looking for?
Well, countries come to Wisconsin for a variety of products, ranging from our staples, which are ginseng, bovine genetics. We lead the nation in the export of bull semen. We also are a really strong state for the export of food ingredients, processed foods. Whey is a very important export for Wisconsin because we're the number one cheese-producing state. We're also producing the greatest amount of whey, and that's being exported around the world.
Isn't it amazing, Ben? Back in the day, whey used to get, let's dump it or try to get,
get
rid of it.
Whey was a headache. And we've actually turned that headache into a very profitable venture here in the state. And it's a great income stream for the cheese plants that are capable of handling that product for the international marketplace.
In fact, last year, Wisconsin cheese companies exported $99 million worth of whey.
Man, it's a lot of weight. Oh, man. I didn't give the number, so let me do that right now. If you'd like to join in, maybe you work in Wisconsin's agriculture sector, have some questions about it. What trends do you see or what do you want to hear about? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Or just post a question or a comment on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And you can join in any of those ways, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, talking about whey, I think reminds me of dairy production. And 2011, I think, was a record-setting year for dairy production.
Yes, it was. We moved up about 30 million pounds of milk this year from our cow herd here in the state. We're up to 26.1 billion pounds of milk being produced in the state. Our cow numbers have stabilized a little bit. We've moved up slightly, but they have been stable now for 4 or 5 years, and that's been a real boon to our egg economy.
But it's really promising, I guess, especially given the fact that we've got the economic problems that we've had, as a nation overall. The fact that dairying is we got record dairy production.
We in this state last year generated 26.5 billion dollars worth of economic value to the state, and that's only part of the egg picture, which is 59 billion. We use those numbers that were created by Steve Dellers here at the University of Wisconsin. In an economic analysis of agriculture, we think he's low because those are old numbers about 2-3 years ago, and things are better today than they were then for agriculture mm-hmm. in general. So,
So it seems like we're going to be able to continue in that direction then?
It looks promising. We are, as I say, been stable on cow numbers for 4 or 5 years. Our production continues to go up. The way they're getting it done is better feeds, better analysis of what the cow is needing for nutrition value, and the handling of the products are even better than they've ever been.
Yeah, so there, so lots of good there, too. And I really wanted to, before we go to the phones here, I wanted to also mention another area or two. I think one of the new cool programs that you're partnering with, as long as you mentioned the UW, is this specialty meats program in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. That's where I teach, as a matter of fact. Talk about what's unique to that program.
Well, we collaborated with the University of Wisconsin, the Department of Ag, Trade, Consumer Protection, came up with a Master Meat Crafters program. In the state of Wisconsin, we have 279 meat processing plants that are inspected by our state meat inspectors. Of those, some have decided they want to become true entrepreneurs, and they have chosen to go into a Master Meat Crafters program, and we graduated 18 of those this spring. They're the people that understand the science of meat and the science of food safety and are putting together some of the unique products to be marketed around this state.
And so, and that's going to, and not only around the state, but across state lines, am I not?
Yeah, in 2008, in the Farm Bill at the national level, they changed our requirements to allow us. They finally are getting around to delivering the rules to us. We have 4 plants that we are communicating with Washington, D.C. about. We will do the state-inspected programs. They're providing a unique sausage, maybe bolognese, maybe lamb rolls, things that ethnic communities are really looking for and are unable to obtain except through either importing from other countries or the national at the national stage. And some of those are so unique, they're looking to Wisconsin to provide those. So we hope in 2012 is a year of implementation of the new Interstate Meat Shipment Program.
Yeah, that could work well. Well, it's callers online. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Nick in Evansville. Hi, Nick.
Good morning. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
I was just, you know, I listen to a lot of public radio, and that gets me to diving into things and Googling and researching. And this is specifically has to do with all the genetically altered seeds. And actually, it was public radio where they were on saying, like, the carrot has about a third the amount of magnesium as it did, like, back in the 50s. Are your boards or any of the governments making these Monsanto-type companies responsible or looking out that the fruit is as good for us? I'm you know, I know the plant grows lush and green and tall and fast, but it's just one area that I really haven't heard much on. Mm-hmm. You know, the government trying to look out for the consumer. It seems like Monsanto is the king of the agricultural universe, whatever they want to do, and it's just full speed ahead, and no one's really ever addressed this, and I think it's huge.
All right, Secretary Bransel?
Yeah, I might touch on that. The USDA is the responsible party. The state of Wisconsin really does not participate in evaluating seeds nor the science behind those seeds. What we do is if you purchase seeds from one of those companies here in the state of Wisconsin, Jung's or others, when you go to the shop and it says you're supposed to have so many seeds, we regulate whether you get the quantity you're asking for, or are you getting the products you're asking for? But when it comes to evaluating the seed itself, that is USDA's responsibility, and we don't really engage in that. But yes, they do monitor that. They are engaged in it. And beyond that, I'm going to have to let them speak to it.
Yeah, there we go. Secretary Ben Bransel, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, one of our guests today. Jen Pino Gallagher, a Bureau Director in the Division of Agricultural Development in the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our other guests today as we visit with them. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Kurt in Valders, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just a couple quick questions. I'm curious, how do they transport the whey that you were talking about? Is it still liquid, or how do they do it? And then what is the wage range of some of the jobs that benefit from the exports that we're doing?
Mm-hmm. I'll touch on the first part of your question, and Jen can touch on the second. The transport of whey in some cases is liquid form, depending on how it's going to be used and how it's going to be handled. Much of our export business, though, is in dried ways, and sometimes they're fractionating those ways so they get just components of it. The international community has become much more sophisticated as to what they want. We used to just dry up the milk, put it in a bag, and tell them this is what we have to sell. They're now coming to us. For instance, Korea came to the state of Wisconsin, went to our cheese plant, and said, this is the very specific kind of whey product we need, and we'll buy all you can make if you'll make it our way. And those are all dried products that are moving.
Excellent. Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Thank you. On Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Barb and Oshkosh, let's turn to you next. Hi, Barb.
Hi, good morning, and a great program. Thank you for your guest.
Sure.
My question is about the RGBH that used to always be on milk, like we have it or we don't have it, it's in or it's not in. And I noticed it's not on anything anymore for years. And I try to ask at the grocery stores, and they just kind of mumble something, well, I don't think it's in Wisconsin milk anymore. Is it or isn't it in our milk?
Well, there are some farms that are still using the product on cows. It's more selectively used, and it's more minimally used than it was when it first came out as a technology. Farmers got smarter how to use it and found out it wasn't the end-all to be-all, and were a little more selective. Some of the companies that you're referring to, they work directly with their farmers, and in some cases they say, we don't want you using this product in your dairy herd, and we won't buy your milk if you do. And those are private relationships that are created. And then those companies, they label their products for what they think their consumer is looking for. I can't speak specifically to the labels you've seen, but it is here. It is used less. And companies are very, very sensitive to the producers they're buying from.
Mm. Thank you, Barb, for calling. Katie in Racine, on to you now. Hi, Katie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is kind of along the same lines as the previous caller. She had asked about the milk labels, and I guess my question is, I've seen on some milk labels it says Wisconsin's Choice, and sometimes it has like a check mark in it, and sometimes it doesn't. I was wondering what that meant.
Wisconsin Choice?
Yeah.
Hmm. I doubt that it has anything to do with anything that would be a standard. It might be a mark.
It is not a standard that I'm aware of. It is a marketing tool and a marketing aspect, I'm assuming, that the company is using for marketing their product.
Yeah. There you go.
So it's not, because it did say something, too, on some of the labels about the growth hormone, you know. So I just wondered if it had anything to do with that or not. But kind of answered the same question with the previous caller. So thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or comments for our guests today, Jen Pino-Gallagher and Ben Bransel, as we talk with them about what's going on with agriculture both here in Wisconsin and what we're doing internationally with our Wisconsin agriculture products. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234, email talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Secretary Ben Bransel and Jen Pino-Gallagher, Bureau Director in the Division of Ag Development for the department. Great to have them along. And, you know, I think I goofed a little bit here. We had a caller on earlier who was asking a couple of questions, and I failed to get back on to you, Jen, for an answer to kind of the second part of his question, which had to do with jobs created when we export, and also, I believe, wages. He was wondering about wages as well. Any comments?
Certainly. Well, regarding jobs that are created, the statistics that we have show that for every $1 billion of products that are exported, it supports or sustains 8,000 jobs. And so as you can do the math with $2.8 billion of products exported worldwide.
Probably 22,000 somewhere in that area.
It definitely has a significant impact. And what's good to note is that a lot of the companies that are exporting are small to medium-sized companies. The U.S. Department of Commerce says that 97% of the companies who are exporting are considered small to medium-sized, so they have less than 500 employees. Two-thirds of those companies have less than 20 employees. So many of those companies that are exporting and finding export success are located in rural areas, located in small towns, so that economic benefit really is spread throughout the state.
And the wages on that are pretty much broad across the board, I would think.
Very broad. And that is because there are so many variety of jobs available within exporting, from
right.
the export coordinator, who is somebody who manages all of the paperwork, all of the documentation for products that are entering the world market, to export salespeople, international sales people who may travel the world, finding sales for their company at home, up to VP of International and Market Development. So the pay range could be anywhere from $10 an hour up to whatever the company wants to pay for the expertise.
Well, now, you know, you're talking about a lot of these companies, small companies in small communities. I expect they need help, and I would assume that you folks are providing some of that assistance.
We do. We have a trade team at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, international specialists who work day in and day out to help Wisconsin companies export their products. And the services we offer really fall into three main categories. There's exporter education, so helping the companies understand the nuts and bolts of exporting, whether it's pricing their product or transporting their product overseas. We have market entry assistance, so helping companies understand the regulations and rules for getting their products into a foreign market. And then the market promotion and development, where we help companies build their brand awareness, build their market presence, help them find buyers for their products. And we do this on a daily basis.
And our primary, the countries we primarily export to, we've got Canada is one. One of them.
Correct. 46% of our agricultural exports went to Canada in 2011.
So
almost half of our exports, followed by Mexico, South Korea, China, and Japan. But Wisconsin companies last year exported to over 140 different markets.
Wow.
And every one of those markets has unique regulations for importing agricultural products. So you can imagine there's quite a bit of learning to do.
Yeah, and that's probably where your department comes in handy, I would think.
Exactly. We answer questions from what documentation do I need to export my products to can I export my products. There are certain agricultural products that are not allowed into certain markets.
One thing I might say is when a company has developed a relationship with those in other countries and they're in the business, we get out of the way. They handle their own business.
Sure.
It's the new companies. It's those that are looking for new markets. And that's where we can be of great help to them and help them build those relationships. Once they take place, then our services are more limited because they have the expertise and the ability. And the big companies, they have their own people. So we really are focused on that middle to small group of size companies in the international marketplace.
Which are, as Jen was pointing out earlier, which is a large number.
Yes, very large.
Medium to small, a big, big number there. You made a trip recently, did you not?
Yes.
International trade trip?
Jennifer Liu, which is one of our consultants in the department, she and I went to Vietnam. We had a chance to meet with the dairy export people, U.S. Grains Council over there, the Ministry of Agriculture, with several businesses and talk to them what they're looking for, What is it like doing business there when you brought back the expertise that we're now sharing with those that have an interest in going into that marketplace?
Excellent. Larry and Stanley, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Larry. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was calling about we're going through the pricing of milk right now. We've had an increase in production in the state of Wisconsin, but now our price is dropping 25%. What is there can you do about it? After 2009 and 2010, we went through $10 milk, and cheese never went down in the store. And now yesterday I looked at the cheese, $3.69 a pound, and we were getting paid for $1.48.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to do anything.
Well, Secretary Bransell, comment?
Yeah, milk pricing is really, there are two aspects. One is national volume, national volume is that drives the marketplace. Where Wisconsin does get an advantage is the number of cheese plants we have here. We have 129 cheese plants. So in some cases, there's slight competition to get that milk and to bring it into the cheese plant. So our price for our milk here in the state of Wisconsin has been consistently about $2 per 100 pounds over what California farmers are receiving. And it's because of the number of cheese plants and the competition for the milk commodity. The total volume of milk available might affect that competition factor, but the overall pricing factor is really based on U.S. production and U.S. Consumption. The way we look at it is how we help get the price for you is to find the markets, that going back to the international marketplace, finding a place for whey when it used to be a discarded product and now is actually a valuable food commodity in some countries. And finding outlets for products, and that's where the Milk Marketing Board and others come in, to try to find places to sell products, not necessarily to regulate the milk production side of it.
I understand all that. I've been in it for 60 years, and it's the price difference from what the consumer's paying and what we're getting. And which you can't control, that's independent business, you know. But why is there a push to promote larger farms where they can add 100 cows on when the production is going up to make up the difference? And the government and the state of Wisconsin, they have programs that promote that.
Well, I'm not really sure of the programs you're mentioning that promotes large farms because, as I'm aware, I've never said to anybody they should get bigger. We talk about how people get better. If they decide that there's things on their farm they want to change, maybe they go from what we call standard commercial farming to grazing and decide grazing is the outlet for them to be more profitable, we're more than happy to help them. Those are the kinds of efforts we're making. It's a broad-based effort across the board, not to drive people to one kind of farming operation.
Okay. And thank you, Larry, for calling. Margo and Madison, your turn. Hi, Margo.
Oh, hi. This is Margo in Madison, and I just wanted to ask the department secretary if he understands how respect for the Department of Agriculture and the FDA from whom they take their orders is eroding in the state, how clear it is becoming that the official position of our government is in favor of factory farming and the warehousing of dairy cows, as opposed to the small dairy farmer that made Wisconsin what it is today?
I'm not really sure how to respond because FDA is the Food and Drug Administration. We never talk to them about size of farms or types of farms. We talk to them about food safety. We have cooperative agreements with them, and those cooperative agreements talk about the kind of tests we'll run, what we're looking for as far as a biology of problem issues that might arise in our dairy industry or any of our food product industries. We work with FDA in that way. I'm not sure what to say about this other perception, because we really do not do anything in our department that drives farmers one way or another in types or sizes of farming operations.
And you mentioned safety, and I know, or I think, there's a new state-of-the-art lab that's coming in or being built to make food safer.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. The laboratory that we have is a retrofitted facility of 1963, and when we brought in some very high-tech equipment and started having to put plastic over the top to make sure the water dripping through the ceilings and tell the employees be careful of the sinks because they fall off the walls. The state of Wisconsin recognized that this is something we need to do. One of the things that I think is quite interesting is when the oil spill happened in the Gulf, the state of Wisconsin, even with the type of laboratory which speaks highly for our employees, are so highly recognized, our employees, that only four state laboratories in the U.S. were used as labs to work on seafood issues with food safety. So we're very excited about new laboratories, the capabilities of continuing to advance our science in food safety. And for years, from 1900 to 1960s, nothing much changed. It was a microscope, and you looked for the basics. Now we have all kinds of high-tech equipment that lets us know exactly what's going on. We can test DNA of bacteria to know if, in fact, the assumptions we have are correct, or it'll lead us to solutions faster to protect the public.
Hmm. Lynn in Kewaunee, on to you now. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. With Wisconsin becoming or being one of the largest producers of organic products in the country, and some of the having the largest amount of organic farms, is DATCAP's budget going to start to reflect that and take more money and put it into the organics, the grazing, the sustainable farming community?
We're in we're working right now collaboratively with the University of Wisconsin and developing food safety systems for organic community and those that sell locally through the community assisted programs. We have a program in our agency that helps people who want to market locally find the marketplace, explain to them what they have to do to prepare their products. And for those that are trying to source products locally, grocery stores and others, we work with them to help them source those. Organic Valley is a very, very successful co-op in this state, and we work with them on different program activities.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Anne in Milwaukee had kind of a similar comment. She likes to eat local and like to hear more about how the department helps local agricultural initiative, that buy local, buy Wisconsin program wasn't funded in the current budget, she didn't think. So
let me just talk to that. There was a grant program, and the grant program had about $200,000 in it. We had grants that went out to different individuals. We would teach them how to write for grants. Then we would select the grants, and then we'd work with them to have a successful grant.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the granting program, but the budget itself supports the same number of people in the efforts. Teresa Ingalls, who is one of those individuals, is really found some very unique ways to develop programming so she can reach a broader audience and more individuals that are interested in this activity. So we've had several discussions. WEDA, which used to be Wisconsin Economic Development Housing Authority, was totally focused on housing. They're very interested in agriculture, and they're interested in this buy local concept. And so we met with them, and we have identified some foundation sources that are willing to come in and help in funding some of these unique efforts that will be taking place around our state to encourage and expand our buy local program activities. And our department is working with them to do that. So it isn't just one source of funding. It is a lot of knowledge that needs to be shared, and we are finding other sources of funding that is possibly available for our producers.
That certainly seems to have been, I mean, this the whole local, buy local has been very popular, I think, with consumers here in the state. It is becoming more and more popular.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add to that, too, that the department staff really support all sizes of producers through these programs. There's a lot of the producers who are focusing on the local efforts who are very small producers. And so we have a very motivated staff at our department who work directly with all sizes of producers. And I would encourage anyone interested in these programs to visit our website to learn more.
And the website is?
It's datcp.wi.gov.
And you know what? I think if you go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, you will find it right there. So, yeah, there it is.
Larry, I noticed a comment came up about Wholesome Dairy, which is at Hilbert, Wisconsin. Wholesome Dairy is one of the larger dairies in the state of Wisconsin, and we were informed, we were not participants in this activity, but we were informed that they are one of three dairies nationally that received some very significant recognition, and their recognition was on sustainability and the National Award of Sustainability. So we're thrilled that one of our dairies was recognized with that focal point and that type of effort being put in at their dairy farm.
And that's and when they say sustainability, they're talking generating their own electricity and generating.
I think they're talking about generation of electricity, the way they manage their farm, the nutrient management planning that takes place on the farm, the kind of care their animals received. The focus is very broad in categories of excellence. And they are the type of farm that others are encouraging people to look at and follow and emulate. We have had some smaller farms win some very significant awards as well in the grazing and organic community. So we're proud of all of our farmers out there.
Yeah. And just last week we had some cheese producers who did very well in the international or world cheese championships.
In all of the categories that they had, Wisconsin took about 20% of all the top of the awards in the entire world. In fact, we had 34 top awards in the state of Wisconsin. Unfortunately for California, they only had 3. Boo-hoo.
Well, what do you see ahead as we look down now, the next looking ahead the next year or two? What are significant challenges that you see for agriculture and for the department?
I'll talk about the department in general, and that is that the science is moving so fast and our knowledge is moving so fast that we have to really, really spend a lot of time trying to keep up. The other one is for dairy farming or any kind of agriculture, high input costs. Whether you're talking about the seeds, gentlemen talked today about genetically modified seeds. Seed prices are going up, fertilizers going up, fuels are going up. Those are some real challenges on the input cost side. And in the international marketplace, we sit out in the middle of the U.S. California and Florida, and those states have an advantage either to the east or the west. And transportation fuel costs will add to our challenges. So those are some of the challenges we see. People are working diligently trying to figure out how they can overcome them. We have digesters in 26 locations in this state that are taking waste products from like manure and food byproduct stuffs and creating energy. So we think there's a lot of opportunities there as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned a little bit in the international area, but Jen, and anything else that you might add in terms of challenges or what to see, what we'll see ahead here in the future year or two?
Well, I think one of the challenges really is a lack of knowledge and understanding of the process of getting products overseas and getting connected with buyers. And that's certainly where our team can step in and, as the Secretary mentioned earlier, help facilitate those connections so that the companies can pick up the ball and run with it and make those international sales. Obviously, one of the biggest challenges, too, is transportation, as the Secretary mentioned, being here in the middle of the country with no coast. That's one challenge we have, because our products tend to be a little bit more expensive because of that. But an advantage is that Wisconsin really is known worldwide for quality products, for a variety of products, and therefore international buyers still come to us.
Yeah. And, well, at least we got Canada straight north. We got a border with them. We got a border with Canada.
Yeah, we do. And you see how the difference, what a difference it makes. So.
Well, this has been great. I want to thank you both very much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much. Hope we can do this again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Look at Agriculture with Ben Bransel, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Jen Pino Gallagher, who is the Bureau Director for the Division of Agricultural Development in the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Take a look at their website. There's a lot going on there, and you can find that. Just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you can find the link there. Well, I've been talking a lot of things that have been going on in the ground here in Wisconsin. We're going to go switch gears now and talk about what's going on in the night skies right now. Paul Kinzer with us next on the Ideas Network.